This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You may have seen the YouTube video or the TikTok video or whatever you want to call it, the video of this guy, Jesse Butler. He's the teenager in Oklahoma who is a free man, who in early 2025, Stillwater Police and Payne County prosecutors filed 11 felony counts tied to two 16-year-old girls. S.A. by instrumentation, attempted S.A., S battery, and multiple counts of assault and battery by strangulation. One victim was choked to unconsciousness. The other needed neck surgery after doctors said a few more seconds she would have died. That was his idea of a romantic night out with the girl that he supposedly was in a relationship with. Investigators say they even recovered partial phone video consistent with a strangulation during one of the assaults because he wanted to record it. Butler was charged as an adult initially, and then the case pivoted in Stillwater because he was 17 at the time that he destroyed these young girls' lives. The defense then pushed for Oklahoma's youthful offender track. It almost sounds youthful. Because this sounds like, oh, this doesn't sound like, until you hear exactly what he did. Does that sound like a youthful offender to you? And guess what? The court in Stillwater granted it. Butler then entered a no contest plea, not a spoken confession, but a plea that the court treats like guilt for sentencing. And the judge suspended a potential decades-long term in favor of 1 year of supervised and rehabilitation under the Office of Juvenile Affairs up to his 19th birthday. If he violates, prison can be imposed, but if he completes it, he walks free. That's the timeline. 11 felonies filed, adult cases, youthful offender reclassification, no contest plea, suspended time. Now the question for us today is, how does the system look at violence that extreme and decide rehabilitation, which doesn't work on sexual offenders, by the way, beats incarceration? And what does it tell us about the culture that protects the right offenders? Retired FBI Special Agent Robin Drake, former head of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us to help us kind of break this this level of insanity down. Robin, let's start by watching the video for everybody in case someone hasn't seen it. This is him being arrested on his porch and his mother coddling him, which I'm sure she's coddled his whole life, which is part of the reason why he is the monster that he's turned into today. Let's take a look at this. This is what's gotten everyone so incensed.
Well, okay, it's fine. It's not locked or anything. Okay, so can you tell him what you just told me? Or
So we're here. We're obviously going to place you under arrest. There's a warrant for your arrest. We're going to take you to the jail. I told your mom that she can contact a bondsman, and you shouldn't be very long, but that just is a process for paperwork and stuff. But right now, you do have to come with us, and I do have to put you in handcuffs, so turn around for me.
You have to put me in handcuffs? I'll get you out. Okay. All right. Stay silent. Rick knows about this. Candy saw this. Dad's on his way. We're coming to get you, okay? Stay strong, okay? Say your prayers.
Okay, so we will... He's going to go right to the City of Stillwater Jail, and if you'll just contact her, then she does this all the time. She knows what to do.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. She knows Stillwater Police Department, not County.
Stillwater Police Department. Yeah. On Lewis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let her know that we're the ones to take you out.
And let me say, we are
Stillwater PD.
Stillwater PD.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way they don't think you went straight over and over
the county. Awful experience.
Okay, now just spread your feet for me.
Nothing on my side.
So that's the video that kicked it all off, that really incensed everyone. Now that they're seeing the coddling, the... Do we need the cuffs? And we know the reality of what he has been charged with and what he pled to and what he basically got away with. What the hell did we just watch happen there?
Well, we just watched him taking a few minutes to come out because the mother had to take the friggin' bubble wrap off of him as he walked out the door.
Oh, God.
We're watching what I call the affluent bubble of invincibility. I just covered another case very similar to this with this Nepo kid kind of thing that's going on, the nepotism that you, and these aren't helicopter parents. These are snowplow parents that have wrapped their kids in bubble wrap and with zero guardrails, and they just are managing their kids. Like, I mean, didn't he look like a pet? I mean, she's literally treating him like her little dog that's being taken away to the vet.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind of level that she's keeping him at such an infantile level that he's got the accountability of a 5-year-old, you know, for any kind of actions.
That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy, like a pet, because at the same point, she also seems to be treating him with the same sort of regard you would have for your pet when it goes and humps the dog down the way.
Yes.
It's like, stop, just stop. Come on, let's go home. Let's get some food because it's a dog. This is a human being.
Yeah, no.
Her son that went and did this to two other 16-year-old girls, strangled them, almost one to death, and he wanted to videotape it because I'm sure he sounded on the porn tube somewhere. And she had, this is it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really, the first question I asked in my mind when I'm watching this is she's got to know what he did because she's being arrested. She's not protesting it. And then I always, as you know, and the audience knows, you know, I do this deep empathy thing. It's like, put yourself in those shoes so you could actually ascertain best your ability, what your reaction would be in that moment. I'm having a struggle to figure out what my reaction, my wife's reaction would be if one of our kids was walked out of the house like that, to kind of gauge her reaction, because I'm having a hard time understanding, like you said, her affect is so placid. It's not like a big, she's treating it like not a big deal. Are you sure you have to do this? He just got charged with raping and almost killing two girls. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You know, I mean, so the last thing you'd imagine, okay, so I'd imagine her being a mom and her son's being accused of this. Okay. But there should be, I'm expecting some level of disgust, some level of contempt, some level of shock and awe. I mean, so we're not seeing any emotional affect to her except they're taking her little pet away. I mean, just isn't that just, that was really what was kind of striking me, is her demeanor was just off of what I expect. I don't know what I would expect, but it wasn't that. And that's why I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it.
I mean, is this something where nobody wants to see the worst in their kids or people in general? And she can't wrap her mind around that this could be true. This must be false. This must be a lie. This must be a this. And she's just all in for her son and just, you know what, you know, I'm there for you no matter what, because all she's still seeing is that little boy from the baseball field wearing the baseball hat that we saw in that initial picture. And that's how she's seeing her kid and just can't grasp this reality. I mean,
maybe
that would be a hard reality to grasp, but at the same point, if there's these accusations against your kid, I don't know. It's hard to say what I would be doing in that same situation, but I don't think it would be quite that.
No. So I don't have any data because I've never seen another child arrested like this in this kind of case. And so I don't have a comparison. The only other kind of comparison we can do our thought experiment on is when you see, or a parent or loved one finds out that someone has been accused of committing murder. We've seen that before, or someone has been murdered and you lost someone. The amount of shock and disbelief that enters your mind because you cannot conceptualize that this person is either gone, they're dead, or they committed this horrendous crime. You get massive energy of denials. No way, this couldn't be wrong. You got the wrong guy. I mean, you're expecting some massive pushback, and some denial, some distancing. You're expecting those kind of emotional reactions in those types of situations. Again, I haven't seen exactly this, so this is my first data mm-hmm. this type, but I would expect that kind of viral reaction to something that you didn't believe, because what we're seeing here is someone who's accepting the accusation, because mm-hmm. she seemed to be saying, okay, this is the way it is. You're being arrested for raping these two girls. I mean, so what do you see what I mean? Hum da dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum. Instead of what? No way. That's not him. You got the wrong guy. Are you sure? You're being arrested. I mean, so you're not getting the typical pushback I would expect to see. Not saying it's wrong or right. It's not what I expected.
It is. It's an interesting reaction that we're seeing there, because it's not that pushback. You're exactly right. It's not this is ridiculous. It's more like, can I put more bubble wrap on you?
Yeah.
How can I make you feel comfortable, you know, in this icky situation that you're going into, and mm-hmm. and say your prayers. Yeah. Say your prayers that you get struck by lightning on the way to prison.
Yeah, unfortunately, then, like, rape the girls.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he's not going to prison, because in this small town in Clearwater, Oklahoma, well, you know what? Power is everything in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to sports. Community complicity is a big thing, and we see it in a lot of cases in a lot of small towns. Everyone knows someone. How do you think that social web silently pressured the DAs and the judges in this to find compassion when the defendant came from this family that had some connections? I mean, we know the accusations and what they are, and what he pled. I mean, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But somehow they decided, let's give him another chance, rather than, you're going away for 70 some years, buddy.
Yeah.
Why? Because they literally are looking the other way in the face of the other two young victims in their community.
There's so many things to this one, Tony. All the research I did, first of all, this is not victim-centered ethics that they're focusing on. They're focusing on perpetrator ethics, you know, how to focus. I mean, look at this. We're not even covering the victims here. This is where the story is the victims. And they're talking about this little baby boy as they're treating him as mm-hmm. he was the victim. He's the one getting the counseling. Did you know, I could not find where there's any court ordered or court authorized or paid for counseling for the girls. Yet he's mm-hmm. getting it, and it's actually secret. They're not even disclosing the kind of counseling he's getting. I mean, so look at all the benefits he's getting for being the convicted sex offender.
Yeah.
And he's getting off with the sentence that could have been up to 80 years or 78. I mean, up to 80 years. And with good behavior, I think it would have gone down to maybe 10. And mm-hmm. so, okay, you don't throw the full book at him, but they went to the bare minimum. And so, Tony, here's the thing that I found the greatest travesty when I'm looking at this. Stand in line for the greatest on this one. There's so many.
Yeah.
The judge followed the law. This is the law. You know, mm-hmm. so when you want to have those outside observers come in and say, and go for overturns or appeal by the, or anything, there's nothing to grab onto that's legal that was done wrong. And that's what we need new processes here, because, and I'm sorry, I'm on my rant on this one. The oversight of judges in cases like this, because I then dove into the judge, as you know, because you and I are going back and forth on this so much last night, because you uncover one rock and you're like, wow, the hole was so deep. Mm-hmm. Now, this judge that did the sentencing, first, she has a track record of leniency where mm-hmm. she's been accused of being too lenient in the past for people that were local. And talk about local. You know, a lot of times when we think of judges, at least I do, when I served in the FBI in New York City and in Norfolk and the FBI headquarters, you know, Quantico, Virginia, Richmond, you know, these were never my hometowns except where I'm at now in Fredericksburg. And you kind of assume that the judges aren't either. You know, maybe the lawyers are, but judges, no, this judge was a judge here for over 50, well, not a judge, but she was in a lawyer and then eventually judge here for 50 years. This is the school she went to. This is where she's educated. This is where her father was a judge. The police department, I looked this up. The police department is only about 70 or 80 sworn officers. So it's a small police department. It's not, and I think the town, I think, is 50 to 60,000. I mean, I looked up all these numbers to kind of get a sense for what inspired this judge to give the least amount of sentence for such a heinous, horrendous crime. And that's why. And I looked up, there is no studies done that talks about the biases of judges that are local in cases like this. But here's where there is study, there's conjecture on, they say, is that judges typically overestimate their objectivity by roughly 80 to 90% in cases just like this. So she thought she didn't need to recuse herself. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is saying, what the friggin' hell?
It's shocking. And the thing is, she did follow the law, but she had a choice.
Yeah.
And the DA had a choice as well. The DA and the judge didn't have to say, well, let's see what other options we have here. Oh, this youthful offender, he technically qualifies. Yeah, technically. But it doesn't mean you need to apply it here. It's not like he went and stole a, you know, M&Ms from the, you know, Walmart or something. It's not like this is a light crime or something that is victimless or something of that nature. We're talking about essaying two girls and then strangling them.
Yeah.
One nearly to death, requiring surgery. Surgery. It's not even negotiable what took place here. This is not a he said, she said. This is a convicted felon that, well, because he was 17 and the countdown's on, less than 365 days from now, you'll technically be an adult. We're gonna go with this one over here. I do not understand that way of thinking, other than, I mean, who's the winner here at the end of the day? Other than the felon. I mean, this is like, it looks horrible on the judge. It looks horrible on the DA. It looks horrible on the family. It looks horrible on every person. The only winner you have here is the rapist.
Yeah.
So why? What is going through someone's mind when you don't have to go down that road? It wasn't like, well, according to this, A+2=3, and this is the only thing we can charge him with. That's the system. We've seen cases like that where, like, the maximum sentence is X. And you're like, damn, I wish you could do more. And the judge is like, this is the max I can give you. Mm-hmm. This is like, what's the absolute least I can possibly give you for these horrible crimes? It is mind-blowing, and I do not understand where any sort of reason came into play here that this was a good idea. Are they completely clueless to the idea that people outside of Stillwater are going to hear about this and are going to come after them with flames and pitchforks?
I think that's part of the calculus that wasn't part of their calculus, is that
Jesus,
you know, she's got reps of doing it this way. So again, looking at behavior patterns, this sentence fits her pattern of behavior and her arc as a judge. It fit right in there. And to your point, that's the least amount she could have done. And you use a phrase I was actually going to say too. This wasn't a case of he said, she said, of a couple 16 and 17 year olds out there doing some stuff they shouldn't have done. And did it really happen or not happen? And I've seen this. We've all seen this before.
I get that. This is not
actually
that
brutal. Yeah. You know, we actually had someone almost died because of strangulation. That is to me, that's the exasperation of this crime, which should at least have done some time somewhere rather than just this is almost like an acquittal and an apology for arresting you and charging you with this, even though you admitted to doing it, or no contest, whatever they say. This gave me such little faith in that system out there or anywhere that the judges have this kind of leeway for a minimum sentence over something so heinous. And I know it's raw with us and our audience as well, just because we've covered the Epstein case so thoroughly and the impact. And the other thing that really bothered me on this one, Tony, was that the prosecutor said, because they wanted to spare the girls the trauma or the being re-traumatized by testifying.
How do you let them decide that?
They said they would. You know, so they actually said they wanted to, but they said, no, we don't want to re-traumatize you. You know, as Virginia, you know, Roberts, you know, who did the whole testifying against Epstein, they wanted to. So it's up to, you know, so this is where you're not.
It's not up to the DA to decide that.
Talk to the victims. Talk to the victims. And the victims said, no, we want to, but they said no. Oh, it's crazy.
No, we'd rather protect little Jesse here.
Little me going off the rails.
It is so maddening. It is so utterly maddening because I just feel like that we are in this upside down land where the justice system in so many of these cases, it's just consistently going to the side of predatory behavior of these awful, awful men. Cause he's 17 years old. He knew what the hell he was doing.
Oh yeah.
This is not, This is something once this is his MO. This is how he operates. He will be a rapist forever. He will reoffend. The odds are there without aid. In my opinion, he will reoffend.
Yeah. And I looked at that, you know, because again, I looked at the nooks and crannies and believe so it's not. And this is why I think the judge is able to do what she did. And it's why the sentencing guidelines are what they were. Believe it or not, I pulled it up. The recidivism rate. For someone at that age, at a youthful age like this, with good counseling, it's only I think in the teens. Teens,
that's bullshit because there isn't stat like there's not accurate stats on reporting sexual assault.
I know, but that's what they're but that's what they're using.
That's what they're using
to justifying their sentencing. But even that. So this is where I had a problem with that as well. So okay, so let's take the stats that they're reporting for recidivism for the reason why they had the sentencing. So if they say at the low end it's 15-17%, you know, recidivism rate for this type of crime from this type of individual if they've gone through counseling, like they said. So that means the judge is saying, hey, he's only got a 17% chance of doing this again. Whose daughter are you gonna let subject to that?
Yeah,
it should be.
Hey, judge, would you like your daughters or grandkids to go on a nice date alone with him? Maybe lock him in a room with him and see what happens.
And so here's recidivism. I would think would be lower if the perpetrator and not just the accused assailant, but the actual convicted one who admitted it, no contest, did it, actually felt that like hit a rock bottom, like this was an aha, wake up, humbling moment. But look at him. This wasn't a humbling moment. This wasn't an aha moment. This was someone who got his bubble wrap got taken off as he walked out the door. They bubble wrapped his cuffs on him. They put him in the car and then he went back home. That's not a moment that changes someone's behavior.
No, I mean, no, it's not. And it won't change the behavior because someone who has this in them, someone who's going to do this, it's there. That's how they're programmed. It's going to happen again. And here's a clear example of see something, say something, do something, and where the do something part completely failed.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.